This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, on the job site. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ+ community, just like you? So you may not be aware, times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your workmates, your next-door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12, on Joy 94.9.
You are on Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9 with Macca and Tass. Our next guest is Katie Larson. Katie is the Senior Manager Inclusion and Participation at Mind Australia.
You know how I feel about that word inclusion, Macca, don't you?
I don't know.
I might actually check with you, Katie.
Sure.
Inclusion, what does that mean?
What does it mean? Well, I guess when we think about it at Mind, we're thinking about how do we ensure that people, regardless of who they are, their culture, their identity, their background, their experience, that they feel valued and affirmed when they access our services or when they come and work with us, and that we don't assume that that will happen for people automatically, that we take a really proactive approach.
So why aren't you the manager for equity and participation then?
Well, I mean, I could be.
I have an issue. I actually have an issue with this because I hear this all the time, and I hear organisations constantly wanting to talk about being inclusive and having inclusive values. And I think, well, I'm sick and tired of being told I can be included.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, why can't I just be treated as an equal like everybody else?
Well, because it doesn't work like that, does it? And we know that it doesn't. And look, frankly, if I can work myself out of a job, I'll be happy. But
you won't.
I haven't been able to
yet. You could change your title, though.
I'll take it up with the management. But at the moment,
Hey, management, I think Jill Callis is your boss, isn't she?
Right,
yeah, Jill. Think through the language, please.
Well, I think at the end of the day, it's about signalling that we are that we're really active in how we think about people do come to our services, and that we don't assume that someone who is LGBTIQA+ or as of Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander background or any combination of other forms of difference is going to feel automatically included.
Now, we'd like to talk about the services that you do offer, but before we go on to that, tell us about the impact that you believe that you've witnessed probably through your service.
And the outcomes that we've seen, you know, how that's manifested itself in referrals, for example.
Yeah, well, we have a LGBTIQA+ specialist service called Aftercare, which offers suicide support to LGBTIQA+ people and their families who have experienced suicidal attempt or ideation. And we've seen 2 months' worth of referrals, I think possibly even more now, thanks to the last week, over the last 2 or 3 weeks following the debate about the religious discrimination bill. And that puts enormous pressure on our service. I'm sure we're not the only specialist service that's seen that occur. And it just goes to show that when we have these national conversations about our rights as a community to access education or services, or just to exist, it has a flow-on impact from a mental health perspective. And that's often not what we talk about in the conversation. We talk about the bill, we talk about what it means, but we don't actually think about the direct and profound impact on mental health. And that doesn't stop when the bill gets shelved.
No.
We now see that flow on for weeks and months.
So tell us, what sort of numbers have you seen? What's been the impact on your organisation?
Well, we run quite a small special. So Mind is a larger organisation that provides a range of services nationally. Our specialist aftercare service is a small service that runs out of Northcote through the Northwest Primary Health Network. And so we've seen about 4 times the amount of referrals. So over the last week, I think we've seen at least 6, which is quite enormous for the size of the service. So so that's quite profound. And that has an impact on our staff. The aftercare team do an incredible job. They're all peer LGBTIQA plus peer workers, so they're all people with who identify as queer and have a lived experience of suicidality. So they're working directly from a lived experience of exactly the support that they're providing, and they do an incredible job. But it's a huge pressure on our service.
So, Katie, give us a sense of what sorts of issues are coming up. What are people talking about with you?
What tends to come up is issues around isolation, around discrimination. I don't know directly the people that have come through the service exactly what they've experienced, but we know that the psychological distress that occurs when we have a national conversation about sex, sexuality and gender identity and rights is it heightens old wounds, I suppose, and it can and really deeply impact people who are already feeling separate from community, who may be feeling really vulnerable, who may be feeling like they don't have networks they can reach out to. I mean, if we look back at the impact of the marriage equality vote, which obviously this flows from, that had a profound impact right across our community. And it still is, because this is what we're seeing over the last few weeks. So when people are already experiencing levels of vulnerability, and we know that for LGBTIQA plus mental health, we know that the rates are staggeringly high, and we also know that that's not just bad luck, that's related to experiences of discrimination and marginalisation. So it's elevated.
I have to confess that even I, in the middle of the religious discrimination debate a few weeks ago, began to found myself feeling a bit down, and I thought I had to sort of stop in my own tracks and check in with myself and say, well, what's going on here? And I think for me it's, here we go again. The LGBTIA community yet again is being talked about by mainstream and, you know, sub-population groups within our community were being kicked around like a football. Yeah. And I found that really challenging and really offensive, to be honest.
Absolutely. It is challenging and it is offensive. And for those of us, you know, I've had the same experience myself. I have a lived experience of mental ill health. So for me, I'm always monitoring how I'm going. But I'm well-supported. I've got good networks and I'm doing pretty well, but you still feel it.
That's right.
So what does that mean for people who are already having a difficult time and then we have these debates really publicly? So, and particularly, I think, for our trans and gender diverse community, a young trans and gender diverse community.
I'm pleased that people are actually calling, though. I think that that's a fantastic thing in itself.
Absolutely.
Because it's so easy to just remain at home, isolated, stewing away, feeling down, getting depressed, and not doing something about it. So that's the positive side, that there are services like yours that are available to do that.
And I think the positive side of a service like this is, as I said before, everyone that works there has a lived experience of suicidality and is part of the queer community. So when you're accessing a service, you're accessing a peer.
You don't actually have to explain what it feels like.
No, but you're getting a bit more than a friendship or your group of friends might be able to provide because our team are trained in how to work with you from that perspective. But yeah, there's a hell of a lot you don't have to explain.
So tell us a bit about your organisation, what you do and how people can access services.
Mm. Yeah, so we're a large community specialist mental health organisation. We've been operating for over 40 years. We run a range of services, subacute, community outreach, supported housing and independent living services. We have some specialist services that we operate, so aftercare is an example of that, where we work specifically with the LGBTIQA plus community. In terms of how you access our services, well, I can provide links, if it's helpful, directly to the aftercare service, so that if you go to mindaustralia.org.au/aftercare, you can find out about that service. A lot of our services, you get referrals through GPs or primary health networks, but we also are now running mental health and wellbeing hubs, part of a large group of community organisations, which have been an initiative in Victoria based on the impacts of COVID. They're services within community where people can get support that may never have access to mental health.
What sort of support?
Oh, all kinds. Basically, working with lowering distress, initial assessment, might be referral onto other services. We do have peer workers within those services too, so that lived experience specialist support. So just providing that initial point of contact, and then in some cases providing a few months of support or referring on to other services as required.
Sounds great.
Yep.
We saw last weekend at Melbourne Pride, the Victorian government announced, you know, a package of funding specifically targeted for our community around the impact of the religious discrimination bill. Mm. There's never enough money.
No,
right? But what sort of...
Well, so, that's part of the issue, Mac. The other part of the issue is there's not enough workforce either.
Not enough practitioners. So
I'm hearing this through mental health services all over the place that they just can't get people. They've got the money, but they just can't get people to employ. Mm. Are you finding that issue as well?
There's definitely a strain on the workforce, and we need to invest heavily in our mental health workforce to ensure not only that we have the numbers, but we have people who are well-trained, we have quality, and we have appropriate supports and training. We're definitely seeing that impact across the workforce as a whole. But we also, funding's always an issue too.
Yeah.
That's the ongoing challenge. And I think a particular challenge for LGBTIQA plus specialist services. So we run on, a short contract with a service like aftercare, and so we need to really look at how we have that continuity.
A lot of the time is spent about working out, where the next lot of funding is going to come from, to give some continuity.
That's right, it can be, particularly for these specialist services. Mm. But when we find they're addressing such an enormous need in the community, I think we really need to look at how we can continue them.
Do you think, ask you to play devil's advocate perhaps a bit here, federal election's coming up.
Mm.
Obviously, your organisation and others, we're always advocating with the political parties for more support. Do you think the federal election campaign is also going to be a bit triggering for people?
It's a good question. It depends what the conversation is, and it depends who the people are. I mean, it's always, I think, triggering for different people in different ways. What it'll look like for our community, I don't know yet. Mm. I think it's important to acknowledge, I suppose, from my perspective, when I think about it, we've just had this horrible experience with this bill, and it's only been shelved. So I think that there's always that tension of what's coming back.
Yeah, will it come back again?
Will it come back? What's it going to look like?
It's not will it. It will. Mm. It will. If the government wins, it'll be back. If the opposition win, they've said they want to legislate in this area too. So one way or another, we're going to be having the discussion again. So I suppose it's the basis of my question.
Yeah, and I think what we talk about when we look at LGBTIQA plus mental health is that impact of minority stress and that constant vigilance. So we talk about that within service access, always trying to assess if a service is safe. So it's why organisations like ours need to make sure we work really hard proactively to send messages of safety, but also in the broader discussion, what will be the next discussion that comes up. And
minority stress?
Minority stress is a way of understanding the impacts of stress that occur when you're part of a minority group that experiences marginalisation. So it's either the direct day-to-day experiences of discrimination, or it's that vigilance that you carry when you're constantly assessing safety. So for those of us within the LGBTIQA plus community, we know what that feels like. You walk into a building the way that I've walked into the Pride Centre for the first time today, and there's an immediate sense of safety. When you're walking into a service, a health provider or an education environment, you're actually looking. We're assessing, right? We're looking for the rainbow flag or the trans flag or the staff that look familiar or the kind of knowing smile that you have when you connect with community. So all of those ways of assessing safety, but that takes its toll over time when you're constantly doing that work of assessing safety, and that's true across minority groups.
That's a really lovely way to explain it. Mm. I mean, people often say to me, what's the value in flying a rainbow flag? That's exactly right. Mm. That's exactly why. It's an indicator that this organisation has thought about it and is making a statement to say we are a safe organisation.
It might be about inclusion,
It is about inclusion, I would argue.
I hate being included.
I know. But we all love being equal. And I would always always advocate equal is the best word.
The notion of inclusion suggests that somebody can include you.
That's true.
That's the bit that I actually object to, is that I find it paternalistic. And I think that in a modern world, we should be treated as equal partners, not somebody has the power to include you.
Absolutely. No, I think it's a good point. It who holds that power and who's in the dominant kind of position to assess who will be included and who won't be. We'll get to the equal bit, but the inclusion sends a strong message about, you know, the work that we're doing.
Mm. Katie, thank you for your time this
morning.
You're
going to have to change your email signature.
Well, I'm going to describe you as being the senior manager inclusion, no, equity and participation.
Oh, sure. There I'm happy with that too.
There you go. Thank you, Katie.
Thanks
for coming into the studio. Great to meet you.
Great.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.